Paddy Power presents From the Horse's Mouth.
Tiger Roll is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second round Oxhills Grand National. Tiger Roll.
Desert Orchid. What history being made? Roars of applause.
And towards the last fight in the champion hurdle. And it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. Viciosi jumped it perfectly. Annie Power.
Hello and welcome back to From the Horse's Mouth. My name is Tom Nugent and this week on the show we've got something a little different for you. Last night, Thursday night, we put on a live show of From the Horse's Mouth ahead of the Dublin Racing Festival to set us up nicely for the greatest show on turf in Cheltenham in March. Joining me on the stage last night was Paddy, Ruby, our Uber tipster Mr. Frank Hickey and our good friend and television's very own Mick Fitzgerald. Before we got into the serious stuff, the tipping that is, we ended up telling the audience a little something about ourselves that they mightn't already know. Here's Paddy.
So I went in to get my back waxed once, and I had to walk out after one shoulder because it was too sore. And then,
like a cat with alopecia, leaving then.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure whether to tell you that one or the one where I've only got 9.5 fingers. Got chopped off in a door when I was 2.
Frank, go on.
I had one, but since Paddy mentioned the back waxing one, I actually have one with that too. I dislocated my shoulder getting my back waxed and had to go to hospital to get it put back in. And I missed hurling championship the following week because of it and told him I fell off the couch. And then the other one I had was when I was in boarding school, I was a sacristan for 2 years, even though I'm not religious at all. And I could fit 8 of the big Holy Communions in my mouth in one go.
Mick Fitzgerald, top that. I dare you.
On the Holy Communion theme, I used to be an altar boy and used to be starving going into Mass on a Sunday morning. And myself and one of the other lads, we used to rob the hosts and eat them in the morning for breakfast. I'm really sorry, Father Doyle. Yeah. Really sorry.
You've moved on anyway. And Ruby, go on. You've been thinking hard about this. You're worried about this.
I was waiting for inspiration from the lads. So when I got around to eating, I was thinking, yeah, I regularly stop for McDonald's on the way home from the races as a jockey and would have a large Big Mac meal and my chicken sandwich and 9 chicken nuggets.
Well, say that again, sorry.
A large Big Mac meal and my chicken sandwich and 9 chicken nuggets.
And a drink as well to wash it down, surely.
That comes with the meal, Tom.
Okay, sorry.
That was all a good laugh, and we got the audience nice and warmed up. The nerves were quiet, and we got into the serious stuff then. We looked ahead to day one at the Dublin Racing Festival and kicked things off by taking a look at the Lacey and Partners solicitors, Grade 1 Novice Hurdle, and the market was topped by latest exhibition trained by Paul Nolan, and Frank Hickey gave us his take to kick things off.
The one I like here, like Elixir Danae and Longhouse Port met twice already this season, over 2-3 at Nace when Elixir Danae beat him, and then the last day at Nace in the Grade 1 where Elixir Danae was ahead of him again. But Longhouse Port is related to horses that stay 3 miles plus, and he's going to love the extra 2 furlongs here, and if there's a bit of a test of stamina, I think he's going to relish it. I'd be quite keen on him, and I think I'm going to have a few quid in him for the Albert Bartlett as well, actually. Before.
Paddy, what do you think here? Longhouse Poet caught a lot of people's eyes when he ran in Nace the last day.
Yeah, I actually completely agree with the exact same reason. I think the step of a trip really suit Longhouse Poet. I think he'll turn it around with Elixir Danae. I think much as latest exhibition looked lovely, beating Andy Dufresne. I think that the Nolan Yard was flying at the time. I think they're a bit quiet at the moment, so that's going to be a negative for me. And Fury Road, I think, just looked a bit like a horse that wants a bog. It was maybe a bit slow or something. But so I'd be thinking Longhouse Poet about 5-1 was a bit of value.
Mick, is Fury Road slow?
It certainly didn't look. It travelled very, very easily when winning. Certainly looks the part, but again, what Frank has said about the ground, that'd be the only concern. A lot of his wins have come on very soft. And sometimes horses get a bit of a shock. You know, Leprechaun have said they've turned the taps on. It's a case of knowing how much have they turned the taps on. How soft is it going to be? I think there's an awful lot of people who want to know the answer to that question. They will not want to lose all their money in the first race. So I think you're going to have a little bit of a waiting game for some of these races. They're desperate that they don't have mass withdrawals like they had last year. They'll be very keen to make sure the ground is slow enough for them.
Ruby, it's something you've been talking about in the media for quite a while, is turning the taps on in Leprechaun.
It is. You can't have the level of prize money and the stature of the races we have this weekend and not have suitable ground. I mean, it's February time, it's a winter sport, it needs to be played on winter ground, and you want all these horses to run. So, yeah, look, I was advocating it. Leverstone have the turn, the taps on. I hope it's slow enough. I disagree with the lads. I think Elixir Danae will hold the form with Longhouse Poet, but whether either of them are good enough to beat the latest exhibition, only time is going to tell.
Very good. We'll rattle on then. The next race on the Saturday, the second race at 1:25, is the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase. And this is an absolute cracker. Chacon Pursuit tops the market, 13-8. At Plutard, 11-4, alongside Min and 4-1 and Bigger the Rest. Paddy, what do you make of this one? Because I think it could be an absolute cracker.
It's like a Cheltenham race. It's like the Queen Mother type of thing. It's as good as one you're going to get. It's like Punchestown, except it's at Punchestown, something they're over the top. You're looking away. So I think it's a fantastic race. Chacon Pursuit, first look, I think, well, it looks like it might be getting to a bit of a price now, 13-8. But then you think about Leopardstown at Christmas, and all the Mullins horses tend to, I don't know, Ruby might tell us why, but they tend to take a huge leap forward at this meeting from Christmas. So I think Chacon Pursuit might be much better than he was. But you still got to probably forgive him, because he was well beaten, I think, at Christmas time. Appley Tard is almost certainly going Ryanair, I think, at Cheltenham. So even if he gets beat, he could be a bit of value for the Ryanair. And so he probably wants further. Right? Well, he'd be better over further, I think. I think the value might actually be Min. I think arguably Min's form is as strong as you're going to get in the race. So I think Min at 11-4 might be worth a few quid.
Ruby, Chacon Pursuit probably disappointed a few people at the Christmas meeting just because of the pure hype around him, but he's surely entitled to improve from that run.
He will, but he has to. He's a strong galloping, brilliant jumper, but he has to improve. A Plutar, to me, is a 2.5 mile horse, and he took care of Chacon Pursuit relatively easily at Christmas. But they all have to go and get up to Min's level. Min has won this race the last 2 years. Without Altior, Min would be a champion chase winner. Min sets the standard, and they have to get up to his level. Keyless Emery is definitely an improving horse going the right direction. Lacks a bit of experience, but whatever can get up to Min's level is going to win. We'd be hoping Chacon Pursuit can, but whatever happens, what comes out of this race is Ireland's going to have a definite challenger for Defi Desai and Altior.
Mick, this could be an excellent champion chase trial, but it could be a very good Ryanair trial as well. There'll be plenty of pace on Ornua has previous for going out like the hare, and it could fall into Aplutard's hands. What do you make of it?
Well, I just love the way Aplutard goes through a race. You watch that race when this horse won at Cheltenham last year, and it was ridden aggressively. He's a big, strong horse. You know, I was super impressed with this horse when winning here at Christmas. There was no fluke about the Chacon Pursuit getting beat. You know this horse is going to be strong. The faster they go, the better. And I think you can underestimate Aplutard. The one horse that I'm interested in Ruby's thoughts on is Silas Emery. Some of this horse's form is very, very good. But the worry with him is he just looks like it's hard work for him jumping big fences. And that would be a little bit of a concern for me, Rubes.
Yeah, I obviously run the once when he won in Goran Park. He beat Expatriate and Duke de Genève. He then had a fall school and missed the Arkle. He won in Nace, he won in Cork. He lacks experience. He was a great jumper of hurdles. He was a brilliant jumper of hurdles. He has to step up somewhere. I don't know. I don't think jumping will beat him. Whether he has the experience or the class to win the race, only time will tell. But I'd be hopeful enough he'll jump well enough.
But you think that Min at this stage is a fair way ahead of him?
Min is 171. He's been there, done that. You saw him in entry last year. I know it was 2.5, but he was spectacular. And he's had a nemesis in a brilliant racehorse in Altior. And I think without Altior, Min's career would read a lot different. And he'd be roaring favourite in this race.
Frank, Ruby mentioned there, like, Min is the class horse in the race on ratings, but the Paddy Power traders have priced it up as if Chacon Pursuit has a bit more to give.
I think he was initially priced up as a non-runner, that he wasn't going to run here, and you can get a bit of value on it as a result, even though I think he was available at 6-1 earlier in the week. 11-4 would look big to me. We had a discussion this morning. I thought he should be favourite. I'd be very surprised if you're looking at similar prices come 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Like, his record just away from Cheltenham, even. I know Ruby's saying he would have probably won champion chases, but I think he's maybe slightly below his very best there, but his record away from Cheltenham is 1-1-1-1-1-2. When he was first past the post and disqualified, he actually won 1-2, beat by Politolog and Nick. Fourth at Punchestown on his sixth start of the season, and then 1-1-1-2-1. It's absolutely class. He's the danger with this race is Chacon Pourceaux is all potential. Everyone's looking at it going, oh, he beat Def Desolve 4.5 lengths. Def Desolve's after winning all around him this year. Def Desolve's after improving about 10 pounds, I think. So, like, it's dangerous to come to the conclusion that Chacon Pourceaux is 4 lengths better. He might be if he improves, but I think he has to improve. Like, 11-4 min's a massive price.
Frank, if Paul Townend was jocked up on min, what price would min be compared to Chacon Pourceaux? Would people suddenly start thinking, well, min is the obvious stable first choice?
He'd be 13-8 or 6-4, probably, yeah. Like, you only have to look at that Mayor's novice race at Ferry House last week, how the market completely flipped when Paul chose Yukon Lil over Dalcheeta and Colreevy. And if you picked him in here, you'd been taking a knife to the price. Because again, you have to kind of factor in too that they're all working at home together and he's probably putting himself on what he thinks is the best chance of winning. But
how good a judge is he, Ruby? Paul Townend?
He's usually a good judge. Obviously, didn't get it right last weekend. But look, everyone gets them wrong from time to time. And this is a big call. I'm just trying to think here. He actually rode each of them, worked last week. They didn't work together. He rode each one on Tuesday morning. So if he's gone with the one he thinks has the most potential to win this race, it's a big call. But it's a big weekend for Paul. A win, lose or draw, whatever happens in that race, if he's on the wrong one, he has to bury it and go for the next one.
Very interesting insight there. We'll move on to the third race of the day. The 2 o'clock is the ERSG Arkle Novice Chase, and Notebook tops the market at 7-4. Impressive enough for Christmas, Ruby, were you taken with him?
I thought Rachel Blackmore gave him a super ride. I don't know if the race worked out the way Mark Walsh maybe thought it would on Fakir Dudari. I expect Fakir maybe to make more of a test of it early tomorrow against Notebook, but then you throw in a runaway like Cashback and this race is going to set up for the one sat right behind the pace, which would be Bapholm and Mellon. I just think the other three are going to go at it hard.
You know what, Mark Walsh is a brilliant jockey, but I couldn't help when I was watching that race thinking, what are you doing? Because Fakir Dudari, when this horse ran at Ferry House, he was so good. He was so good jumping, been ridden very aggressively. And if you watch the race again at Leopardstown, he got caught inside, he had nowhere to go at the wrong time. And Fakir Dudari came home very strong. But Notebook was already gone at that stage. And like Fakir Dudari, looking at him as a racehorse, he certainly looks like he wants a little bit further than 2 miles. He's a real strong staying 2 miler. And he probably wasn't ridden like that at Leopardstown, and he got beat because of it.
He seems to pick his knees up a fair bit as well. Will it be soft enough for him,
Frank, on the day?
Do you think he'll get his ground and do what he needs to do?
Fakir. Yeah. Pick his knees up, Tom.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Paddy. A bit like yourself.
Yeah. We went through the race today, actually, and funnily enough,
I fucking hope you did. You're a trader. That's what I meant to do.
But funnily enough, while it looked like that at Leopardstown, the times actually say it was quite strongly run. So it might be a little bit difficult for Fakir to turn around because he's £2 worse off here. If he doesn't win on Saturday, he hasn't the hope of winning at Cheltenham because he'd be another £5.
Yeah,
the allowance would be gone. This race is all going to come down to tactics. Notebook, Cashback, Fakir, if they all press on, they're going to set it up for one of Willie's two. Thought it was interesting. Paul stuck with Mellon, but I assume he's probably looking, he has the back class. If I was looking at it from a purely selfish point of view, I'd want Notebook to win so that we get a price about something in the Arkle, because I don't think he'll win the Arkle. But
why don't you think he's going to win the Arkle with a view to
130 hurdlers don't win the Arkle. Simple as that.
Cutting words from Frank Hickey. Paddy, what do you make of it?
Well, I'm worried about the fact that there's like three front runners or whatever, but because one of them is Cashback is the one I've backed for the Arkle at Cheltenham, so purely with my heart I'm going to back him again because I love throwing bad money after good, so I'm going to back him as well at the weekend. I think it's 6-1, he's a decent price. I think Cashback's very good. I think a bit of a runaway, but I think might just put some of the others, hopefully put some of the others jumping under pressure because he's a really good jumper, I think.
Next up is the Matheson Handicap Chase at 2:35. Frank, I'm going to start with you because you surely have one picked out here. The Handicap Judge that you are.
I'll be hoping to see a little bit of reaction when I say I think Batsy will take a bit of beating for Mr. Ted Walsh.
He's got a poker, Ruby, isn't he?
He gave nothing away.
Didn't even blink.
I hope he does too.
Yeah, I think that was his handicap debut over fences at Christmas. Half-length second to Drumconnor lad. Was closing quickly at the line. He's gone up £4, but the race has been franked already with the third. Allardyce has won at Naas since. The sixth at the Acorn won very easy since, and the seventh Ice Cold Zone won as well, so the form's working out well. £4 is lenient enough. He's well handicapped.
Very good. Mick?
I actually quite like Quamino in here. Paul Nolan's, this horse won last year. Very similar handicap mark, and like his last run was over 3 miles. So they're dropping him back to a trip that you know he's competitive of. I think, you know, he's got to have a very live chance here at an each-way price.
Ruby, you were sweet on Charlie Stout in the Denmore.
Yeah,
you got that one right. So you surely have a handle on these 2 miles.
I have an affiliation with Charlie Stout. but I think it's between Charlie Stout and Batsio myself. I think both are at the right end of the weights and going the right direction.
We're going to skip over the Irish Champion Hurdle. We'll come back to that at the end. The penultimate race on day one is the Ladbrokes Hurdle. And Frank, you were pretty sweet on one here. Go on, you can tell us about it.
The two I like. One is short and one's a price. The one that's short is Unaccepted. I'm pretty sure he's very well handicapped. Was impressive on his hurdles debut for Willie. When he won a Fairy House, the second Jason Middleton won a maiden hurdle at Limerick on his next start. Hated the heavy ground at Limerick at Christmas and probably found the trip too far as well, 2.5. A good pace, better ground, 2 miles. I think it'll bring about a lot of improvement. And the other one I like is a very big price. I absolutely love Tony Martin. He's a great man. But he's had plenty of horses hit the frame in this race without winning the last 10 years. He's had placed horses in 2018, 17, 15, 14, 13 and 11. The Mouse Doctor had been one that was useful on the flat. He won in Dundalk a couple of starts back on the flat. Went over to Musselburgh and broke his duck over hurdles very easily. He's gone up a fair bit in the handicap since, but yeah.
Funny, Unaccepted looks very short. Frank, 3-1, come on. Give us a break here. Might be well handicapped, but very short. I thought Tiger Tap Tap might be one. I don't know if you can say he's improving, like, but it was Sir Eric that kept beating Tiger Tap Tap last year, wasn't it?
Ruby, go on.
I don't disagree with anything the lads have said. Both those horses of Willie's are in good form. I can see why Paul Tannen went for Build Me Up Buttercup. I thought she was unlucky in Fairy House, where she bundled away over the last hurdle, and it cost her the race. And the one that actually caught my eye, and I thought Davy Russell might get down to two, do the weight on him, was Datsy. Beat Entikos in a maiden hurdle in Navan, ran okay in Leopardstown then at Christmas. He was fourth behind the My Dad's Flyer in his first run in a handicap. I don't think he's badly treated.
Very good. We'll move on to the final race of day one, but the penultimate race we're going to preview, because we'll come back to the Irish Champion Hurdle, and that is the Goss Future Champions Bumper for Colts and Geldings. Eric Bloodaxe, top of the market, but Appreciated has been a big talking horse, Ruby. I know generally you avoid these bumper questions because you say, oh, I have nothing to do with the bumper horses, but he seems to be the one that you're most excited about at the moment.
I don't, but I rode something work the other morning that worked with Appreciated, and I Appreciated caught my eye. I'd say he's a very good horse. Eric Bloodaxe has been very good in his two starts, winning at Fairy House in Leopardstown, but I like Appreciated, and if we have a chat in the bumper horse and Willie's, it's him.
Mick?
I was chatting to one of the lads about Eric Bloodaxe, a lad called Oakley Brown, who rides a bit for Joseph. And when this horse was running that day at Leopardstown, he said, oh, you know, he had a ride that day, and he said, look, we think he's very good. And I think they were proved right. He looks pretty smart to me.
Frank, betting in Ireland on bumpers is generally pretty popular, so I'm surprised you haven't put Willie's in the fab here.
You'd just be a small bit worried that he won over 2.5 at Christmas on soft, and it's going to be 2 on better ground here. He's probably going to be a stayer eventually, I'd be guessing. Eric Bloodaxe has been very impressive in his two starts. I wouldn't have a strong opinion, but I think Eric Bloodaxe is the one to beat. I think the market's right at the moment, and it could be proved wrong.
Paddy, give us one for the lucky last.
I'll go for Appreciated because Miss Eric Bloodaxe, according to my notes, beat Fernie Hollow the last time, and that's so the Mullins stable may have a good line through Fernie Hollow, and they might think that Appreciated's much better. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Nugent.
We'll come back and look at the feature race of the day, and It is, in no uncertain terms, an absolute humdinger. Honeysuckle, top of the market, 11-8. Sharjah, 15-8. Classical Dream, 7-2, 14-1, and bigger the rest. Ruby Walsh, talk us through the PCI Irish Champion Hurdle.
It's a belting race. Obviously, the mare makes it very interesting, Honeysuckle. She was very good in her last start in the Hatton's Grace. That was over 2.5. If I have a concern about her, it's her ability to jump at speed. I can see Petit Mouchoir and Classical Dream going a really good gallop here and testing her jumping. She's a bit high and clean. She's done very well to win what she's won, but she hasn't faced a test like this. And I do think she's a very good mare, but she has to jump better than I've seen her jumping to beat this calibre of horse. And Sharza sets a fairly high standard. Classical Dream's in great form. I think he's come forward from Christmas. And I'd be hopeful that
Was there a reason at Christmas why he was so bad?
They were going probably a shade faster than he was able to go, and he just let fly the second hurdle or the first hurdle in the back straight. I'd say he wants to be going as fast as he's able, but not beyond that.
Yeah.
And I'd say he was on top of his head and threw himself at the first hurdle in the back straight.
Is there a worry that last year's novices in the Supreme weren't very good?
It could be, yeah. What was second?
Thomas Darby. 50 races.
Won a handicap in Ascot.
Itchy Feet was third. That
won't do. But there was one of Gordon's, there was a fairish horse that went back then, won an entry, Felix Deje, and went back to Punchestown and was second to him.
Yeah.
He actually missed the break in the Supreme. And, you know, if he had he been second in the Supreme, Felix Deje, the race would stack up better. But, yeah, look, he has to go and prove it. And I'm probably tired saying what we think about him. He has to go and do it on the track. He has to deliver. But if the mare jumps better, but she has to jump better to win at this level.
Mick, I see Mansoor Lecoq in here for Jane Williams and Lizzie Kelly Rides.
Hang on, sorry. Mansoor Lecoq.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Monsieur is like French.
Sorry, I was never good at French, sorry.
Jesus,
but,
like.
But this is a drum that's been banged a few times over the last couple of weeks, but it's UK trainers being slow to kind of consider the Dublin Racing Festival as an option.
Yeah, but
is it purely just because they don't want to get rolled before?
Yeah,
before
but of course it is. Do you really want to go into the Lions Den a month before the Cheltenham Festival? Not in a million years. Like, do you really want to walk into Willie's and Gordon's backyard and try and take them on? It's not going to happen because somebody like Nicky Henderson, he knows that he wants to peak his horses for those 4 days in March. There's no point. He does not want his horses peaking in February. He wants them peaking in March. So he knows that they'll have too hard a race if they come over here trying to take on the... And like some of the best horses that'll appear at Cheltenham are coming from this side of the water anyway. So the last thing you want to do is go walk into their backyard and try and beat them. It's not going to happen. But Monsieur Lecoq, give them their due, they're taking a punt and having a go, but this horse has got a bit to find to trouble these guys. Honeysuckle is the one who, it wouldn't be a surprise if you see her go and win, but this is by far and away her sternest test, and you just don't know how she's going to handle it. You have to remember, it was 2.5 at Fairy House. It's very different when you get in amongst this lot over 2 miles. They're all racing together. You know, Rachel might say, look, I'm going to go a little bit wider and see what I'm doing. You go wide on that track at Leopardstown, Ruby will tell you, you're giving away so much ground, you cannot afford to do it.
Especially now you're on the inside track at this meeting. So from the third last hurdle around, it's one continuous bend. And if you get more than two wide, you do give away plenty of ground. So it's just not going to be ideal for her. She'll have to get forward and in, but it's going to be a test for her.
And Sharjah is the obvious one, with the ground not being soft. You know, this could be his chance to win a big one. You know, he's shown he likes the place.
Ruby, just to touch on that a little bit more, and Mick as well, like, for a horse like Honeysuckle taking a step up into this kind of company, is there a point in the early stages of the race where she's kind of, you can nearly feel her under you, she doesn't know what's going
but
on?
You
this
feel
is a different level.
The early part is easy, because the first two hurdles are normally alive because you're ready, you're on them, and say, right, come on, I want you to jump into the bridle, jump over those first two. It's when you get to the third and you want them to try and just settle into a rhythm. That's when you find that those horses get... Because you have to keep asking the question. You can't keep asking the question in a race like a champion hurdle.
No, she gets behind the bridle, and that's like what you asked what happened to Classical Dream. She get behind the bridle because they're flat out, you've no contact with their mouth, and then they do something stupid like Classical Dream did, and that's throw themselves at a hurdle from way too far away because you need to be going a bit slower. So do you take back to get contact, forfeit your position, get back fifth, sixth, seventh in a race like this? You can't do that either. So, you know, it's championship racing for a reason, and you have to race at championship pace. And she's going to have to get down out of the air and be slick across the first couple of hurdles so that Rachel Blackmore's able to travel into the back straight, third or fourth, and on the bridle.
Frank, this will have a serious impact on the champion hurdle market for the Cheltenham Festival, and we are always looking ahead to Cheltenham. What do you make of this, and do you have any opinion on the Cheltenham Festival itself?
Again, while we were working today, Paddy, talking about Leopardstown, we were discussing how Honeysuckle obviously is unbeaten, but she's never run a big time figure, which would worry you if you're backing a horse at 11 to 8 in a grade 1.
Explain a time figure for somebody
basically,
who might
she's run a quick time. She's won impressively without running that good of a time. Like, even if you go to Fairy House, Bacardi's isn't the horse he probably was as a novice, and Apple's Jade had an off day. Straight away, you can put holes in the form. She's going to be up here having to probably run a decent time figure. Sharja is lethal on fast ground. He loves Leopardstown. He's won 2 grade ones. He should have won a grade one as a novice at Leopardstown. It's just going to set up perfectly with plenty of pace on. I think he should be favoured myself, but that's the way I look at the race anyway. I'm not saying she can't win, but we don't know if she can run a fast time. And if they run hard and it's a fast time, she could get found out.
If she does win, what price does she go for the champion hurdle?
She'll be favoured over Epitant, but I'm very anti-Epitant.
Right, okay. That's a conversation for another day, I think. That's day one in the can. We'll just round off now. Best bets for the Saturday. And as Paddy scrambles through his sheets of paper, Frank, maybe I'll come to you first because you're the most prepared out of everyone looking at you.
I only have 75 pages of notes.
Yeah.
I was going to say Longhouse Poet, but after seeing Ruby kind of like Batio as well, I'm going to say Batio in the handicap chase.
Paddy Power.
I'll say Longhouse Poet, so.
Mick?
I'm going to go A Plutard.
And Ruby Walsh?
I'm going to go for a bit of value. Pull me up Buttercup in the handicap hurdle.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
We'll get on to Sunday's racing soon enough, but regrets. We've all got a few. Things we'd like to take back or do again. So I asked Ruby if he was given one ride to take all over again at the Cheltenham Festival, what would it be?
Comanche Court in the Gold Cup.
Simple.
Simple as that, yeah.
For what reason? Oh, apart from that you just got beat.
No, tactically down the hill, he'd won the Irish National. I was full sure he would stay and outstay best mate, and I kicked off the bend on the outside of Seymour Business. Joe Tizard drifted off the rail. Jim Cullity got a run through. Comanche Court propped and half banked the second last, and it was the difference. I always felt the difference in winning and losing, and I would love to have won a Gold Cup from my father, and that's the one I would have changed.
What about Annie Power? Do you like another go of her?
No regrets about that one. That was something that happened. I've watched it 100 times. I would ride her to the last hurdle the very same way every time. She stepped. I didn't step. She stepped. I made a decision on Comanche Court. I didn't make the decision on her back. So you asked me about a regret. I've no regret about any power.
So fuck you. Mick Fitzgerald, if I could give you one ride again, I can feel him staring at me now. If I could give you one ride,
it's gonna be a fucking long night for you.
If I could give you one ride again, particularly at the Cheltenham Festival, to relive it all over again, which one would it be?
The Seymour Business.
Okay, so with not it, negative.
Yeah. No, look, I was lucky. I won a Gold Cup, and that was the one race I wanted to win more than any other. I was lucky enough to win a National before I won a Gold Cup, but for me, being a purist, the Gold Cup is the race that every jockey wants to win, as far as I was concerned. And that was the one I wouldn't mind having another go and just sample what it's like walking down that, going down that walkway, when you walk past all the bookies and the crowd, to relive that again, that's a magical moment. And, you know, Wanda, he was lucky enough to have a bit more than me, but they can't ever take it away from me.
Very good.
Tell us, actually, just on the when you're walking down in front of the crowd, the old throwing the flags at you, fan or not a fan of that as jockeys, if somebody threw an Irish flag at you, would you lift it up or would you be...
I never took one, and it wasn't because I wasn't patriotic, but I think I was always taught you never ride a horse with an open coat and nor do you carry a flag. It was just...
It was a health and safety issue.
not even, but like what horses do duck and run from flags, so purely... Never crossed my mind to pick it up.
Frank, in your long and glittering career setting prices for Paddy Power, have you anyone that you go, fuck? Is there anything that
Tiger
you go?
There's some funny ones. Like, I'll tell you one that's not to do with me, but one of the international traders priced the French guineas last year, and David Simcock had a two-year-old. I can't remember the name. And we have a database, put the prices in, and he left a comment going,
what was it called?
Tapal, that's the one. James and his Ryan's comment was, running just to give the owner a day out, and he went 150-1, I think. Didn't the thing win? And he made a holy show himself. But if we could price one race, sorry about that, Dawn. If we could price one race again, it's definitely Tiger Roll in his first Grand National. We had it for absolute bombs and bombs, and we were convinced he wouldn't take the fences because he was a small horse, but the fences aren't as stiff they used to be. And when I say the room was like a morgue after the race, genuinely, the missus was like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
What do you do, Frank, when you've backed something, whatever, something heavily to win or whatever? Maybe it ends up going off favour, you back something at 20-1 at Cheltenham, and it's a terrible result for the company. Do you cheer quietly, or do you just say fuck it and just go, come on, you good thing?
He's riding it himself in his chair. Yeah.
You'd be hoping if you've priced the race that you've been able to keep under it the whole way. But sometimes it happens that's not the case.
Give us one, Frank.
That happened then?
Obviously, because you're recalling it quickly in your mind there.
I'd be a shit poker player. I generally try to walk up and go to the toilet just after it ends. Giving out cheers. That's a
Frank's hickey's in the jacks cheering.
So back to matters at hand, and Sunday at the Dublin Racing Festival was next up, and Frank kicked things off with his view on the Paddy Mullins Mare's Handicap Hurdle.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Jeremy's Flame would look interesting off the back of her second in the Talbot Hurdle to Fiddler on the Roof, but a bit like me, after 12 double gin and tonics and a pint glass with two tonics, I get strange notions, and that's the horse I like here for Charles O'Brien, making her handicap debut off 114. She's had two runs in quick succession at the start of January off the back of running in the flat in the summertime. She was very unlucky not to win at Navan. It screams to me, two quick runs of her at the start of January, 4 weeks into this race, handy money. 114 is a nice mark. She's a massive price. She'd be 20-1 plus. There'd be extra pace in that race as well. So
very good, Frank Hickey, with a bit of value in the opener on Sunday. Paddy Power, what is on your sheets of wisdom there?
Not much, to be honest. I think Frank's already said about Jeremy's Flame in second of the Tower. I think Drury won on New Year's Day, I believe, and that form apparently has worked out quite well. So Drury for me, about 8-1.
A refreshingly honest Mick.
Yeah. The horse of JP's, Ina Bay, I think it's called, ran very well in a novice handicap at Leopardstown. And you were talking about the Mouse Doctor. That finished just behind it, Frank. Is that form good enough to have a chance here? If it comes over for Harry Fry?
It was her first start in a while as well. So if she improves for it, Harry Fry's actually a trainer who does make the trip over to Ireland. He goes to Punchestown regularly enough, and his strike rate's very good too when he does bring them over. He's very shrewd, and of course the green and gold really leave the money after them.
Ruby Walsh.
I am going to go for La Saralita. I think her run behind Janadil, Try Again, Shoemaker, and those horses in Fairy House, she's 20-1. I think she's a bit of value.
The second race on day two is the Tattersall Ireland Spring Juvenile Hurdle, a grade one. And Frank, there's one here that's dominated the kind of Irish juvenile scene so far this season.
Aspire Tower is interesting, impressive. He's just brilliant. I love him. He won at, I think it was a Punchestown, his first start. It was amazing. Fairy House. He got kind of a bang just after the first hurdle. Kind of got lit up, pulled the arms out of reach, Blackmore took off, jumped really well though, but you thought, oh, when he gets a second last now, he's going to empty out, like. But what happened is, they all came in behind him just after the second last, and then she gave him a kick and he went again, and he won by 13 lengths. Now, impressive, might say the form might be up too much, but the second Sea Ducker for Arthur Moore, that was back from double figures into 11-4. Arthur doesn't leave the money after him normally. It was fancied. The third, fourth, fifth, sixth and 8 all won again since. He's dotted up the last day at Leopardstown. This thing's a machine. If he learns to settle and channel his energy properly, he could do something similar to what our Conor did in the Triumph a few years back. He really is that good, potentially.
Mick, this will give some of the English trainers a fair kind of sighter into the Triumph at the festival. Obviously, Gary Moore has Goshen and things like that, but what did you make of the Irish crop of juvenile hurdlers so far? And does that stand out your view?
Like Frank, I was super impressed with Aspire Tower. That horse should have got rid of Rachel at Punchestown the first day and was very impressive the last day. Still looked a bit green, rolling around a little bit in front, but no doubt in this horse's ability. I thought Cerberus, the horse of Joseph's that they brought over to run against All Mankind at Chepstow, I think they let All Mankind get away with it a little bit that day. I think the horse will run a lot better, Cerberus, here. And it'll be very interesting. A lot of the English trainers will be looking to see where the horse finishes and judge how their chances are on where Cerberus finishes.
Ruby?
I have nothing further to add.
You're like Paddy, so go on, Paddy.
I think Aspire Tower is a good thing.
A good thing. Yeah. So says Paddy Power for Aspire Tower in the Tatters of Ireland Spring Juvenile Hurdle. Next on the Sunday at the Dublin Racing Festival in Leopardstown is the Chanel Farman Novice Hurdle. And Easy Work, Frank, tops the market at 2-1 for Paddy Power.
Yeah, Abracadabra's got very weak in the last day or two. I'd be guessing he's not going to run just by the way the market's gone. Easy Work has been very impressive, but I think he might be ground dependent as well. He was beaten in a bumper the one time he encountered good ground. The one, I'm not sure if he's definitely going to run, but the one I thought was very interesting was Asterion Forlange for Willie. He won a point very impressively, beating a horse called Assemble, 6 lengths. That horse, if it was given a handicap mark now, would be about 140. Scrambled home in a bumper Thurles, but that track would have been against him too sharp. He was 1-4 that day, but returned to more galloping track at Nace. He was unbelievably impressive, winning very easily the last day. Willie's won this before with horses that have been in the first string, and if this does take its place, I think it could run a massive race.
Ruby, Asterion Forlange has probably been a fair talking horse, but I thought Mount Leinster, after being very, very keen his last couple of runs, settled a lot better at Christmas in Leopardstown.
Yeah, interesting one here. He is, and he was only a length or a length and a half behind Easy Work in a maiden hurdle in Gorham when Mount Leinster jumped quite poorly, so we'd be hoping Mount Leinster would be good enough to give Easy Work a race anyway, if not turn the form with him. But I'd agree. I think Asterion Forlange, I was taken with him and Nace as well. He stays really well. And the only thing is, Frank, when those staying horses of Willie's, the likes of Vatour, Champagne Fever, won this race, it was 2 miles and 2. It's only 2 miles now. That would be my only worry for him.
Paddy?
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to go for Mount Leinster, but the fact that kind of Ruby's saying Blue Sarri's on a 15-2 shot, and Asterion Forlange is kind of a, you know, one that sounds like you might be tempted to ride him yourself, Ruby, if you're having the choice. So I think I'll stick with Mount Leinster, though, but less confidence than I would have had beforehand.
Very good. We'll move on to the half twos, the William Fry Handicap Hurdle. And Frank, Cabaret Queen tops the market here at 5-1. Was very impressive winning the Munster National, and then disappointed probably the last few runs.
Yeah, well, the handicapper gave her a right rise for winning that Munster National, but you have to remember, she won that off a mark of 126, and if she's to get in here, she'll run off a mark of 116. Now, the worry would be that she's number 40 on the list, and if the race fills, she might not get in, but if she does get in, she's very well handicapped and will be very short. A horse with a similar profile from the point of view of being a good chaser, running off a far lower hurdles mark, would be Suggs. But Benny, again, if he gets a run, he'd be a massive danger. I think if you're looking at the race from what will definitely hit each way, two-way per me, again, he's rated 155 over fences, has finished second and fourth in 2 runs over hurdles. He's still only rated 129. He was fourth here at Christmas. He'd probably hit the frame again at least.
Paddy Power is writing, so this is going to be good.
Yeah, I'm just writing down here. Make sure to get eggs and bread on the way home. Silver Sheen.
Yeah.
Has won three in a row? Three in a row.
One in England, one at Warwick.
Yeah, on a roll. Jessica Harrington went a bit quiet, but she seems to be back in form again, the stable, so why not?
I think that horse is really interesting because it's only rated 130. To get in to run in the pretemps, which is a qualifier that it won, it has to be, I think last year, the lowest rated horse to get in was 134. So it needs to go up a little bit to get in. So it's quite interesting that, you know, she's running this horse again.
it flew home at Warwick, and I think this has to run a big race.
Ruby and Dad?
I think Column of Fire is very well handicapped, and if he doesn't turn up here, keep an eye on him for something like a Martin Pipe. If you back that mare of Willie's and she gets balloted out,
you get your money back.
You get your money back?
Yeah.
I'm very generous. But I think Column of Fire is well handicapped. But that is the only one thing I would say, when you do get a chance to look back at the three or four handicaps run this weekend, especially the hurdle races, look back to the ones 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. They'll feature in the Cheltenham handicaps. Big time.
Very good. We'll move on to the 3 o'clock, and it's an absolute corker. It's the Flowgas Novice Chase, and a little horse called Faheen tops the market, Ruby. He's an incredible horse, like absolutely incredible. What kind of form is he in at home?
He's absolutely bombing. Whatever way you look at it, he's 12, but he's only had 24 runs in his life, so that's what, 2 runs a year. He's very little racing done. He's in wonderful form. He was brilliant in Limerick. Jumped much better than he had done in Punchestown. And I think 7-4 is a good enough price, because he's achieved way more in his life than Battle Over Dayoon, Easy Game, Tornado Flyer, Castlebaum West. Put them all together and they haven't achieved what Faheen has achieved or ever run anywhere near to the standard that Faheen has run. He's in great form and I hope he wins.
Frank, this will be popular with punters on the day. So from a trading perspective, are you happy enough to lay him, or do you kind of try and duck him?
Just what I was looking at today, the field's going to cut up. It's going to be a small field. Like Gallon Jonjo, Melon Fakir, and Narina are all in different races. So this could be a 6-runner race, which would probably help him. He's a class horse. Like, I hadn't much input into my wedding, but I did get to name the tables, and I named them after horses, and the top table was called Faheen. I met Faheen once on October the 27th. I cannot tell you what day I met my wife at.
You realise you said that on a podcast now.
She'll be delighted to see you when you get home, won't you?
But, yeah, look, if he was 7 or 8, he'd be 5 and everyone would be raving about him. The thing is, he's 12. He's probably not as good as he used to be. One thing would be in the back of my mind, does he need a bit of soft ground now that he's a bit older? I'm not sure if it's good. It'd be absolutely ideal for him. When I was looking at it, if I was having a bet, I would take a chance on Tornado Flyer, simply because they tried him at 2 miles the last twice and he just looked really uncomfortable. Pulled up at Nace the last day. He looks like he wants a trip. I think the return to, or the step up to 2.5 would be massive in his favour. He was a very good bumper horse, won the Punchestown Grade 1, was third in the Cheltenham bumper. Depending on what kind of price you get, if you get 8 or 10 to 1, I'd take a chance on him.
Mick, is Faheen vulnerable at the top of the market, do you think?
Look, yes, he is. Purely because, you know, he's come to the table late, Jason. He did look good at Limerick, but you wonder when a horse gets to that age, how many of those types of performances can they keep putting up? That's the only concern that you have. And the younger legs, Battle Over Diane looked really good in the early part of last season. When he went to Cheltenham, I can remember being down at the start at Cheltenham and watching him walk around, and I couldn't believe what a big horse he was, but how light he'd got. And we subsequently found out afterwards that he hadn't drunk any water when he'd been at Cheltenham. So the horse was basically rattled when he was over there. I think over this trip, Faheen is the class act. And if Faheen puts up a performance like he put up at Limerick, Battle Over Diane won't beat him. But he is an older horse now, and you have to ask yourself, how many times can he do that a season? And that would be the concern for me. And Battle Over Diane is the, you know, he is the pretender.
Paddy, you're a big fan of fairy tales.
I am, yeah. And I think, and that's where I go. I was going to go with Easy Game. I think Easy Game is a big chance, but I think Battle Over Doyen. That was the horse I wanted to follow for a few years last year. And it was so taken as a novice hurdler, but then he was so shy to Cheltenham. To be honest, when he came back, he just looks like he's just everything's hard work for him. Do you know what I mean? So I've gone off him completely. So it kind of brings me back to Fa. I just broken up with him, he's gone. So Faheen, I think I'm just going to buy into the hype, and yeah, 12-year-old fairy tale. Sure, he doesn't know what age he is, maybe he does actually. But yeah, so why not Faheen? Just got the class, got the speed, got the stamina, got the everything, so yeah, Faheen.
I think he'd bring the house down for sure. We'll skip over the Irish Gold Cup and come back to that. The penultimate race on the day is the Gaelic Planter Leopardstown Handicap Chase. The artist formerly known just as the Leopardstown Chase. At the Acorn, Frank, tops the betting for your old pal Tony Martin at 13-2. Tell us, what's the market like at the moment?
Yeah, I really like at the Acorn, actually. If you go back to when he won a point in 2018, he beat a horse called Kulooney, who's rated 127 for Ronnie Murphy. That horse will win a good handicap hurdle at some stage. And fourth that day was Fiddler on the Roof, who's about third favourite for the Supreme. So he has ability. Tony Martin took the usual slow, slow, slow approach. But he caught the eye of Leopardstown at Christmas when giving a nice handy ride out the back, stayed on nicely and bolted up the last day in a novice chase. Now he's got a fair whack from the handicapper from 115 up to 131, but I think he's even better than that and he's justified to be top of the market. And I think he'll take a bit of beating.
Go on, Ruby. I feel like you've got something to say.
I like a couple of JP's colours, actually. Blazer, I think, stepping up to 2.5 will suit him, or 2.5. And Manila Till Dawn, if that gets in down at the bottom, it's probably touch and go. It probably has as much a chance of getting in as Cabaret Queen, which is pretty slim in the 3-mile hurdle. So an Articulum at a big price of 20-1 wouldn't be far away either.
What about Robin DeFore, Ruby? He's a very strong traveller over this trip. 2.5.
I think he's a strong traveller over every trip, Mick. The last furlong of any race seems to be just too far for Robin DeFore.
But the faster they go, the better it'll suit him.
It will, and he needs to arrive at empty horses. If he arrives at a horse that has a bit of fight left in it, I think he's going to lose.
Paddy, anything worth adding?
Dallas de Picton, horse that likes a bit of better ground and comes alive in the spring, and we will be in spring. It'll be spring when they're running, so
okay.
Goes well in the spring.
Good to know. We'll improve a stone in 2 days' time. The final race on Sunday.
Maybe fucking laugh the other side of your mouth when he wins.
Is the Mare's Bumper. Big, Bad, and Beautiful. It was very impressive earlier in the season. It was 8-11 at the top of the market. Am I right in saying she won't qualify for Cheltenham? Am I right?
She's had too many runs, hasn't she, to qualify for Cheltenham.
But she was very impressive earlier in the year.
Very impressive. Twice, yeah. She'll take all the beating. Castra Viterra was very impressive on debut for Joseph, winning by 7 lengths from Carrigan Lotus, who won well at Cork the time after. She's very interesting. I'm going to go one absolutely left field, but anyone watching the racing during the week would see there was a horse at 1,000-1 in Betfair, won a bumper up and down Royal, trained by a lady called Lorna Fowler, who I don't know anything about.
Lorna Bradburn. She's like John Fowler's
daughter-in-law.
But that horse absolutely bolted up. It was very impressive. But yeah, you're kind of going, how did that go off such a big price? Surely someone had something on it. And then I was kind of looking at the horse they've entered here and going, maybe this thing that they've entered is beating the shite out of this at home. And that's why they didn't think it was much use. Now, this horse up there is called Politess. Was third in a bumper at Punchtown behind Longhouse Poet and Monkfish. Only beaten 6 lengths in total. They're two quality horses. And Foxy Jack and Royal Thief were behind, who are very useful horses. I just thought, look, it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, but you could be getting 50 or 66 to 1 on this come Saturday evening.
Because they're just dismiss 16 it. To 1.
It won't be when they price it up.
Okay.
It'll be bigger, definitely.
But you know our prices are on the internet. People can see them.
But like,
what?
I'll just explain the bookmaking here to Paddy, but like, these markets are taking an awful lot of margin at this stage. They'll be bet a lot tighter come Saturday, and what most people will do is go, oh, who's Lorna Fowler, and they'll just push that because that's the easy way to go.
Ruby Walsh, any steer here?
I think Carrigan Lotus could turn the form around with Castra Viterra. I thought it won well in Cork the last day for the Lawlers super pedigree, and I'd say 10-1, it's a bit of value.
We'll move on to the feature race of the day on Sunday.
It's the weekend.
Paddy
Tennessee.
Power Irish Gold Cup. You'd know they're all staff here, wouldn't you? Frank, 13-8 Delta Work and Kenboy now. Tell us, what do you think?
I would be surprised if Kenboy isn't clear favourite come Saturday evening again when this is revised. I suppose in the face it was a small but disappointing at Christmas, but at the time a lot of willies were needing the run a bit. He shaped like he needed the run. If you go back to what he did last year at Aintree and Punchestown, that's a different level to what the rest of them are doing. Again, the time figure he generated at Punchestown was massive. Delta Work, you think it's a stare, but actually his race that he's winning are when they're not that strongly run and he's actually able to out-sprint them. I'd be very worried if this is strongly run for him. It's not guaranteed that this will be strongly run. And presenting Percy, honestly, I just don't think he's good enough to win a race like this or the Gold Cup. If he was mine, I'd be aiming him at a Grand National, get him on a, dropped a few pounds and go with that. I think he needs further. I don't think he's good enough, to be honest. Again, he's done nothing on times to suggest that he's as good as Kenboy. Kenboy, I'd be pretty sure Kenboy will win this. I hope he wins it impressively, because then he'll go clear favourite for the Gold Cup and we get a price about Albu Voto.
Paddy, okay. Frank's got everything mapped out. Yeah. It's like the beautiful mind there. So you see numbers floating across the room.
He's just done a treble. Yeah. Kenboy, Albu Voto presenting Percy for next year's Grand National.
Yeah.
I think if Delta Work runs the same race he ran at Christmas, it won't be good enough. Because I think Kenboy is going to improve a lot. And I think the conditions are going to be very much in Kenboy's favour. Frank said it there. I have it written down here as well. Somebody wrote it down for me. Aintree and Punchestown was unbelievable last year when the conditions were right. But I think the race is set up for Kenboy. I think Presenting Percy would probably want a bit further and a bit softer to go here. But I'm a Presenting Percy fan for Cheltenham, maybe. I'd love to see him run well. I'd be thereabouts, the mania gets going again. But I think Kenboy is one of the naps of the weekend, I would have said.
Ruby, talk to us a little bit about Kenboy's last run, because starting off his jumping probably was less than ideal.
I'd say jumping has never been his strongest point. He's his own way of doing it. He's an ex-French horse, doesn't like you to interfere with him too much, he likes to do it himself. And he's his own way of doing it. He can get quite low, and he does have a tendency to go to his right, which wouldn't be ideal in Leopardstown, even though he won last year's Savills. But that was a messy race that he won. But look, Punchestown was his biggest performance, but Paul Townend maintained Album Photo was a bit flat, so you have to wonder how big a performance it was. He's in great form, but having listened to Frank here for the last hour, if this market's going to change considerably after declarations tomorrow, I would say with 9 runners at max, because Sizing John is out, I'd say Album Photo is Bell's Hill is a wrong price at 14-1. He won the race last year. He will have improved equally as much from Christmas as Kenboy. He's not that far behind him and Presenting Percy. He's a 14-1 shot. I think right here, right now, at this minute in time, before declarations, he's value at 14-1 each way. Do you get paid 8 runners? There's only 7 declared. You're still on each way, aren't you?
If you back it now before declarations, you get your 3 places.
Yeah.
Mick? It's quite interesting. I went over and did some filming last year for Cheltenham. And we did some filming with Willie Mullins. So we sat him down and we're asking him about the fact that he'd never won the Gold Cup. And could this be his year? And we asked him what his Gold Cup horse was that could be the one to break the duck. Do you know what horse he said? Bell's Hill.
That's the one I wrote. I was hoping he was going to say that. I was thinking if he said fucking Album Photo and I wrote Bell's Hill. I always thought the same. And he had different preparations for different races and things didn't go right. But if you were to stand on William Mullins' gallop this morning and watch Kenboy, Album Photo and Bell's Hill coming at you, Bell's Hill will put the other two up on his back 7 days a week. We have never managed to get that horse that we see at home to come to the track and do it. But the day he does, he's a better horse than any of the other two. If we someday can manage to get the homework onto the racetrack.
Why is that? Is it just he's a bit of a head case or something? Or?
I don't know. Are we doing things wrong with him? He was very good when David Mullins won the Gold Cup in Punchestown on him. He carried a huge weight and threw away an Irish National. It's there. It's just a matter of channeling it in the right direction.
So that is a huge price of him at 14-1. If I were you, I'd be taking it straight away, because Frank, he'll be making sure that that gets cut very, very quickly. But I just think Presenting Percy, he's a horse that I like. I'd love to see him string a few runs together and get to Cheltenham with a great chance. You know, the guy that owns him, Philip Reynolds, is a great, really sporting man. I think it'd be nice for him to have a chance to, you know, see what this horse is really capable of. If he's not good enough, well, then he's not good enough, but let him have a chance.
Very good. Right, that is Sunday in the bag. We'll go across the board now and ask for your best bets on Sunday. Paddy Power.
I was going to say Kenboy, but now I better change it, because everybody's Kenboy's not even first string from the bloody Mullins yard. I can't say Aspire Terror, that's too short. Why don't I go for Mount Leinster?
Mount Leinster, very good. Frank Hickey.
Just something, I'll put up that strange notion at a wild price. done. If you get it right, everything, you're great. So if you get it wrong, they'll forget.
Okay. Very good. It's a good approach.
Yeah.
Is that what happens in your house a bit?
They never forget, Frank.
Oh, no. My missus never forgets.
Mick?
I'm going to go for Ina Bai, Lars of Harry Fry's each way in that Mayor's Handicap Hurdle.
And Ruby Walsh.
I'm just checking something again here because I can't figure out how this horse got the mark it has. But I still can't figure it out. I think Colin Maffire is 8 to 10 pounds well in. If he runs in the William Fry, he'll take some whacking.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
All right, almost done for this week, but we finished up this special live edition of From the Horse's Mouth with a bit of a quiz for Mick and Ruby. We put a forfeit to them that the loser of the quiz has to mention the words From the Horse's Mouth at their next TV gig. Now, whether they do that or not is a different story, but the questions were horse's name, real or fake. Have a listen.
Right, Mick. Hoof-hearted. As in hoof-hearted, you're supposed to laugh.
True.
True, yeah, correct. Kildare Misery.
False.
So you're jumping in second. I thought he was going to do seven in a row, but that's grand.
You're the only one that thought that. Surely one. No?
It is. No, you're right. It is false. Okay. I'm ugly but fast. It's Frank Hickey's line.
False.
That's real. It placed once in 2004 at a 13 start, so that's one wrong for me.
I'm fat and fast. Ugly is a bit harsh.
Well, that's a bit harsh, Frank.
Very harsh. Jesus.
Ruby.
Considering he's talking to the other two about having ridden them and everything.
Panty raid.
False.
It's true.
How did I get that one through?
It's a grade one winner on the dirt in America.
Ah, that explains it.
Right. Mick. Mikey, Keith, Stephen, Ronan and Shane, as in the five members of Boyzone. It's 18 characters.
Yeah.
No.
Right, I'm going to, if I get a chance, I'm going to name a horse, Mikey, Keith, yeah. I don't even know who the lads are.
Right, Ruby. Ruby, Roubaix.
I've never heard it anyway, so I'm going to say false.
Won a point to point. Oh, Mick. Baby ankles.
True.
True, correct. Very good. Very good. Ruby, another horse.
True.
That's true. That was owned by Robbie Fowler and Steve McMenamin, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's a great story. They had another horse and they wanted to name the next one Some Horse because they wanted another horse to beat Some Horse. But they wouldn't let it through.
So... Next, Champagne Vauxhall Nova.
False.
Correct. It's completely made up. Can't really say much more about it. Ruby, Paddy Live.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're probably calling the horse after yourself.
Yeah.
I'd say true.
Yeah, last ran in Cheltenham in 2010.
He did.
unseating Robert Thornton. Mick Mourinho.
True,
yeah, won in Leopardstown a couple of times. Ruby, John Terry.
False.
It's true. Terry Wogan.
False.
Correct, false.
There was a horse that I rode called Wogan, not Terry Wogan.
No, Terry Wogan. And Ruby, to finish, this is the last question, and I apologise that I say this in public. No money, no fanny.
It's a fair chance that was stateside as well. We'll go through.
That is true. It's trained in France by Pia Brandt. Ruth, go on.
Joe, it's very disappointing. There's two names of horses.
I know what you're going to say. We're going to be on the list. Yeah.
One ran at Linkfield last week, and how the name got through. It's called Mickey Dripping. I was like, do the English not know what a Mickey is? And the other one is Two in the Pink, runs around Wolverhampton regularly. These are real horses running Regularly.
Yeah. Fergal O'Brien had another one, good one called Wizard Sleeve, but that's for another day. The good news is that we're getting more money because Ruby Walsh has to say From the Horse's Mouth on ITV.
All right, that's all from us on this live special of From the Horse's Mouth. Don't forget, we're here every Friday, so make sure you subscribe to the show and give us the odd 5-star rating as well, because that'll keep the big bosses happy. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media channels, particularly Twitter, at Paddy Power, because we will be planning another live show ahead of the Cheltenham Festival in March. So if you want to attend that, we'll be giving away a few chances to attend. My thanks indeed to Ruby, Paddy, Mick and Frank for joining me last night. And my thanks indeed to you for listening. I've been Tom Nugent, and that's been From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.